This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, episode 36 of Tatooine Sons. It was a slow news week for Star Wars, but not for Turbo Support. We'll give you the latest. Plus, we'll share our hot takes on the news that did come out, and spend some time looking at the similarities between two of our favorite Jedi in training. We are rebels, fighting for the people, fighting for you. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Chucha Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably didn't see the first image of episode 9.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Did you see the porg on that?
The porg that you photoshopped in.
He didn't photoshop.
There's no. That's just a dirty rumor. It's fake news.
Oh. Okay.
I saw a porg.
Okay,
got it.
Some versions of that photo.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, you can have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the bow tie Jedi guy.
Happy birthday, BB Nay.
Happy birthday.
Happy babies.
Let's just start singing right here.
No. You want to? You want to sing happy birthday to him right now?
No, sure. No.
I'll do it.
No.
We'll do it like we can do the bad happy birthday.
I'm not sure that they'd like listening to that.
All right. So we celebrated your birthday yesterday. How was that?
It was good.
Yeah? What did we do as like your party?
Escape room.
It was awesome. So we had 9 people in one escape room and 9 people in the other escape room. So which rooms were either of us in your room?
Dad was. Which
I was in.
Guy?
Yeah, I was in your room. Samuel the Hutt wasn't in your room.
No.
Which room got out first?
The smuggler, the one that we were in.
That you and I were in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the smuggler room, which makes sense because I'm a Han Solo fan.
Yeah, that's why I chose
yeah. it. Yeah. Is that why you chose that one for us?
It seemed like a Han Solo.
The other one was what, Legacy? Yeah. So it could have been like Legacy of the Force, like a family legacy? It could have been. We got out first, like, yes. By what, about 15 minutes before them?
Well, yes. You also started like 10 minutes before we did.
Let's just get this really clear here. We finished well before our time was up.
Yeah, that's true.
They gave you extra time to finish. So we won. Good job, BB.
I'm not denying that you guys won.
We killed it. So yeah, so by Wednesday is your actual birthday.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll
It's gonna be a teenager.
I'm gonna have a 13-year-old and a 17-year-old.
Yeah, we're gonna be lucky if we survive.
Yeah, I think it's me that has to be the one that's worried about that. But anyway, so we've got some exciting news happening though, because we're getting ready to go to Colorado for a week.
Yeah.
We leave Wednesday at the end of your birthday.
Woo. Mm-hmm.
And then we spent about a week there doing some different stuff. I've got work stuff to do while you guys do. You're going to tour college, Samuel the Hutt. You're going to tour University of Colorado, Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
It's got a good engineering program.
Mm-hmm. So it's got my actual degree that I want.
What's your degree you want, Samuel the Hutt?
Aerospace engineering.
Is that because you want to go into the Space Force?
No.
That Donald Trump, that
president? I might like designing the stuff they use, though.
That'd be kind of cool.
Design a TIE fighter.
We're going to go back and visit all of our favorite restaurants that we used to eat at when we lived in Colorado.
Yeah.
Do that. See Grammy a little bit. Help her with some roofing damage on her house and getting the insurance taken care of on that. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. And then we're going to part ways for a little while. I'm going to head back to California.
Yeah.
Where are you guys heading? Alabama. You're going down to Orange Beach, Alabama, the Redneck Riviera. That's what they call that.
Okay.
So yeah. Why? Because it's where Alabama is a redneck state.
Yeah, but what's a Riviera?
And it's like where all the rich rednecks live. Oh. And the French Riviera is where all the rich French people live.
Oh.
So there's the French Riviera.
And there's the redneck.
Then there's the redneck Riviera.
I can see that now.
It makes my perfect sense now, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. So, let's see. Did we have anything happen this week that I wanted to talk about? Oh, yeah. Rian Johnson finally interacted with the Turbis the Pork tweet. Yay! All right. So here's the deal. Yeah, we're going to talk about the shirts in a little bit. But Nathan, Sam's trying to... what? Okay, hold on. Here, hold on. This is one of those moments where Samuel, the 17-year-old, gets to try to tell the dad how to do the show.
43-year-old.
So, what are we doing here? Heading to Colorado. I'm coming back to that.
Okay.
All right? So okay. Let me run the show, okay?
I'm
43 years old. I've survived a long time in my life without you giving me direction on how to run the show. If you're a parent right now, you know exactly what I'm dealing with at this moment. The kid that thinks that he's got it all figured out and he's smarter than the dad and he just needs to know.
I just want to make sure we were going to talk about it.
We're going to talk about it. Oh, we're going to absolutely talk about it. But we're going to talk about that on the list when I want to talk about it, not when you want to talk about it.
Okay.
All right. Because I wanted to make sure we talked about Nathan's birthday and the request I put out for to Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams and Matt Martin from Lucasfilm Story Group and Pablo Hidalgo. So yesterday I tweeted to them an image of Turbis the Pork that said hashtag make Turbis canon on it. And I said, you know what would be the best 13th birthday that BB Nate, birthday present that BB Nate could get on August 8th of this coming Wednesday? It would be to make Turbis canon.
Yeah.
And since January 31st, when we actually had that very fun moment where BB Nate, you got to ask Rian Johnson, director and writer of The Last Jedi, what the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon was, and he didn't have a name. And so Rian Johnson looked at you and said, I don't know. What do you want to call him? And you said?
Turbis.
Okay, yeah. So Turbis, named after our dog, reversed.
Not reversed.
That's close enough. The syllables are backwards. Anyway. So we've been tweeting incessantly to Rian Johnson. I mean, there have been moments where I felt like he probably muted us on Twitter. He didn't block us. He never blocked us. But I figured he probably muted us because we were so intense with our tweeting to him about this. And then yesterday I tweeted out about making Turbis canon for St. Nathan's birthday on Wednesday. And finally, Rian Johnson liked that tweet.
I think he just
confirmed that they're going to make Turbis canon for Nathan's birthday on Wednesday. Because Matt Martin from Lucasfilm Story Group, who we talked with a couple weeks ago at San Diego Comic-Con. Matt Martin also liked that tweet. Pablo Hidalgo, you didn't. You didn't like it yet. But anyway, what were you going to say?
They're going to make Turbis canon in the Darth Vader comics because that's the only comic coming out on.
It won't be a print thing. It would have to be like a tweet from Pablo that day saying it's going to be or something like that. It's not going to be in a Forces of Destiny. We suggested this week, and interestingly enough, Matt Martin liked this idea as well. If you recall from Return of the Jedi in the credits of it, when the blue credits are going down across the Starfield screen, you see Jabba the Hutt playing himself listed in the credits. I suggested that's the easiest way to make Turbis canon. Yeah. You don't even have to use the word Turbis anywhere in the movie. If there's a Porg on the Millennium Falcon in Episode 9, which I'm sure J.J. Abrams is going to do because we saw the picture of it. But anyway, if you don't know what we're talking about, just go to our Twitter feed. You can find it. So anyway, I think that if there's a Porg on the Millennium Falcon, they don't have to call him by name or anything. All they have to do is list him in the credits. Turbis the Porg, played by
himself.
I think that's what we should do. BB Nate, would you be satisfied with that?
But I would have to wait for another 500 days. But
498 days. That's an old tweet.
It would be worth it, though.
It would be worth it. But I just want confirmation that it's going to be in there because then I'd be waiting for 498 days.
Wouldn't it be cool if this Wednesday you got a tweet from Pablo and from JJ and from Ryan and from Matt Martin yeah. and all those others basically saying that they are working on making Chervis canon. Right. So then we know, but then they don't spoil how they're going to do it. And we're sitting there at the opening of the premiere night or whatever, the opening night, whatever it is, whenever we first get to see Episode 9, the latest Star Wars movie.
On the red carpet.
Mm-mm. Well, yeah, of course, because we plan on working on trying to get invited to that. But anyway, we're sitting there, and the credits roll, and it says Chervis the Porg played by himself. We would lose it. Our ever-living mind.
You know what else would be cool? If that didn't happen, what if we were like at Celebration or whatever? And, you know, like, the Star Wars, like, the stage where Anthony Carboni and Andy Gutierrez
the Star Wars show. Yeah, the TV stage.
Yeah. Aren't they, like, constantly live
streaming? Oh, yeah. They're doing
Wouldn't it be cool if they, like, called us up there and, like, gave us the first official piece of, like, Turbis merchandise?
Ooh!
Like,
official.
Like, it's, like, it's a Funko Pop.
I'd be good for that.
Like, a Funko Pop, and it says Turbis.
There was a big movement when Funko, a few months ago, Funko Pop released the big oversized Porg.
Who was that?
And they wanted help naming it. And there was a huge movement of you, our listeners and followers on Twitter and supporters, trying to get that to be named. Named Turbis the Porg, and they named him like
Fluffy McFluffy Pants.
Yeah, something like stupid like that. No, so, I'm not angry or bitter about this at all. But anyway,
but that would be cool. You know, we get invited on stage, and they like,
and then they
maybe Funko wanted to name it Turbis the Porg, but then they contacted Lucasfilm and Disney to explain what's going on, and they're like, no, we're going to have a bigger purpose for Turbis later, and the so Jedi let's hold Porg. That back. He could be the Jedi Porg.
Turbis the Jedi Porg,
like you said.
If he's a Jedi Porg,
that's
then
not happening.
This is not going to go the way you think.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. All right.
I would be satisfied if there wasn't any Jedi Porgs. I would be satisfied if Turbis saved the galaxy.
Turbis could save the galaxy in some cool way.
Yeah.
Yeah, accidentally.
It would be like some weird thing. He's biting through some cords on the Millennium Falcon. He gets the hyperdrive working again or something.
Right.
Or it's like
he's like a stowaway on the enemy ship and he chooses.
And he just chooses.
Although I think fans wouldn't like that a whole lot because it's kind of Jar Jar-esque.
I would love that. Okay, so anyway. So, all right, let me explain what Samuel the Hutt was so excited that he couldn't wait.
Everything.
Huh?
The 17-year-old who knows everything.
The 17-year-old. He's just a 17-year-old. That's fine. It's not a problem. We understand you're going through this portion of trying to learn how to be more independent and more
mature.
And so you're just, it's that type of thing. We have the 13-year-old over here, the soon-to-be 13-year-old, who's just really good at being a little bratty brother right now. So he wants to call that in. So anyway, but we love them both as they love their father. Okay. So anyway, Sam was really excited about this because we're going to be in Colorado next week.
Yeah.
But we've got a special podcast being recorded Thursday evening. Now, I'm going to let Samuel the Hutt tell what's going to happen Thursday evening, because if it weren't for his relationship with this podcast, which wasn't much of a relationship, but they met and had a conversation anyway, we wouldn't be doing a podcast today. And we're getting to be able to partner with them a special episode of their show coming this week. So tell us all about it.
So when we went to the Star Wars Creators Meetup in San Diego, I happened to cross Dominic Jones from Star Wars Underworld podcast.
And explain what's going on with that.
And we had met previously in the
2017
celebration. And talked, and he suggested for me to be on his podcast or whatever to talk about my experience at Celebration. Long story short, it didn't happen. But we met again at the creators meetup, and we started talking, and he asked if we could be on our podcast.
On Star Wars Underworld.
Yeah. So
as a group.
Yeah, I explained to him that we were a podcast, and he liked that idea, and I explained that it was because of him that we started our podcast. So he was like, I really want you guys to be on our on Star Wars Underworld sometime. And then I think he reached out to you on Twitter. Reached out to you, right?
Well, I mean, I thanked him for everything he did there. And then he followed up a few days later and asked if we would be on. So this Thursday evening, I guess they start up at 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm not sure. I think they do theirs live. But I'm not 100% sure. I'm pretty sure that they do, because it's like on some network, 11:38 or something.
Oh, that's
like that.
Cool.
Yeah, so I think they do theirs live.
Even. What time is this going to be?
It'll be 7 o'clock for us in Colorado, 9 o'clock for them. We're going to get on there. We're going to talk about Star Wars news. We're going to talk about their
Toronto. How long are their episodes
usually? I don't know. It doesn't matter. we'll get on there. We'll talk about Star Wars news. And we're going to specifically talk about our favorite things from Clone Wars. Mm. So we'll take some time to think about that.
They're like their Clone Wars episodes.
Yeah, they're like their celebration of the 10 years of Clone Wars episodes.
So what a great episode to have us.
And what an honor to be on a podcast that has won awards and things like that for Star Wars podcasts that's listed on the StarWars.com community page. These are big guys. We're so privileged to be a part of that, like we are being a part of the Commonwealth Network as well. It was just a lot of fun to have our work recognized as being at least somewhat on par with some of these.
It may not be great,
but maybe that argument that we had during the middle of the show a few minutes ago won't hurt us too much. So anyway, speaking of Tervis, we have Tervis the Borg t-shirts.
Always.
We've got two versions. I'm wearing one right now. If you could see me, it's a blue one with amazing.
Oh, yes, they can
with
see
Tervis.
You.
If you could, I said. It's got Tervis the Borg on it and our logo. And then we also have the one I wore yesterday to Nathan's birthday party, which says Remake the Last Jedi. Or Remake the Last Jedi. I'm thinking about what's happening in the last part of the show. Whoops.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was
just
wrong.
Just for the record, we do not want
to. No, we'll talk about Remake the Last Jedi a little bit later. But. But interestingly, it says make Tervis canon. I was thinking about what we're going to in the rest of the show, and I'm sorry about that. So yeah, you can go to our website, Tatooine Sons, S-O-N-S, you know, because like I've got two sons.
Yeah.
But they're not twins. I said that earlier this week. I was typing two sons on a tweet, and it autocorrected to twin sons. And so I tweeted out a tweet that said, yeah, I have twin sons. So
we're not twins.
I had to clarify that.
We have more than just t-shirts.
You can order mugs,
sweatshirts,
pillows,
blankets,
artwork to hang in your house.
Yeah,
blankets. It's basically anything that they can make on TeePublic, you can get on Tervis. So
pretty much.
Yeah. All right. So, let's talk about reviews. We did get some new ratings this week, but it feels like the international reviews are not showing up here. In the U.S., and so I'm a little confused about that because I know I've got people that have tweeted to me saying that they've been reviewing our show, but it's not showing up, and so we're trying to figure all that out. But we also got a new Patreon supporter this week.
Happy babies.
Her name is Mother Talzin. Cool. Well, that's what it says. Like my Twitter name. Yeah. Now, do you guys understand the way it works? You have a Twitter name, and then you have a Twitter handle.
I have no idea.
Okay, so our Twitter handle will always be at Tatooine Sons because that's your Twitter handle.
Got it.
Okay? But you can change what your name is listed as on that. So I changed it this week to Twitter, or I changed it this week to Tervis the Porg's agent.
Agent?
We've had some positive things with it. So our new Patreon supporter, she's one we've been interacting on Twitter. She's been following us. We've been following her for a long time. Is listed as Mother Talzin, and her profile pic is Mother Talzin from the Clone Wars, which we're, you know, that's a cool part of the Clone Wars.
The Night Sisters art was weird.
It's weird and awesome at the same time. But her actual name is Nicola Murdoch. She's from Australia.
We're
big in Australia. I don't know why. We have lots of reviews and followers.
We should go down under sometime.
We should. All right. So, and her Twitter handle is actually at Alderaan Nicola. So, anyway.
Cool.
Thank you so much. Join us as a Jedi Knight.
Wow.
I think that's a $5 level. So, yeah Jedi Knight. It. So, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Nicola. If you want to be a Patreon supporter, please go to TatooineSons.com.
And then you got to
look for our Patreon page. And watch our Patreon video and select the level of your choice. Thank you very much, and may the Force be with you.
And now you got to do that really fast talking of the like terms and conditions.
The terms and conditions.
I feel like they do at the end.
Yeah, like on a radio
commercial. Yeah, radio commercial.
All right, so we put out a poll last week. Let's wait. Oh, I didn't get to talk about that. So I wanted to talk about this. This isn't in the show notes, but I added this because this just happened today. So Richard E. Grant, you guys know Richard E. Grant was announced as being one of the new cast members for episode 9. He's Thrawn. That's one of the theories, which we're going to go down that path. He was in movies like Gosford Park and Hudson Hawk. Trying to think of some of the others.
Downton
he won
Abbey.
Some awards. He was in Downton Abbey.
That I know him from.
He was in Downton Abbey. He was in a movie called Wawa. I don't know what that is. Let's see. I'm looking to see if there's any other movies I recognize. He won lots of awards for Gosford Park. Really a British actor. Great guy. Has some Thrawn similarities in the way that he looks.
True.
And he was announced to be in the cast. And so today he took to Twitter, actually. And he recorded a video telling about when he was finally told he was going to be cast in this. And it's a lot of fun to listen to him tell the story. So we're going to go ahead and talk about that for a second.
So my agent calls me and says, you know that thing that you self-taped for a couple of months ago? Generic scene. The director of this film, J.J. Abrams, would like you to come to Pinewood Studios for a meeting. To which I go and emerge an hour later, prostrate myself in front of Nina Gold, the casting director who's got me in there in the first place. And J.J. has said to me during this meeting, so, do you want the part? Okay. I'm trying to be cool about this. I've been smiling ever since.
I've been smiling ever since.
That's awesome.
It's fun watching him. If you go to his Twitter page, you should watch the video of him doing this because he starts laughing. He can't stop laughing. He's giggling. He's so excited he got J.J. Abrams says, do you want the part? And he starts giggling and he's like, okay. And he's like, I'm trying to be cool about it. But I've been smiling ever since.
That's awesome.
That's what I love about Star Wars. Because you get people cast in this that are big, you know, stars that have made a living in movies and TV and theater for 30 years that are like little kids. They're so excited that they get to be a part of that.
Go ahead. I was going to say, do you know what Oscar Isaac did when he found out he was going to...
No, tell me. I think I probably heard it, but what did
he basically he said he was in his hotel... And he hung up the phone and he blasted Star Wars music, right? And then grabbed the shampoo bottle and flew around like an X-Wing in his hotel room because he was so excited.
And then I remember hearing like John Boyega talk about how he knew for months before he was allowed because it hadn't been announced yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How he had to hold it back. And then when he called his parents to find... Because he told them that he was going to be in a movie, but he couldn't tell them what movie or anything about
it.
So then he calls them later when he can finally announce it. And he tells them that he's going to be in Star Wars. And they won't believe him. They didn't believe him. They thought he was lying with that.
Seriously.
Yeah, that was cool. And then do you remember what Donald Glover said he did when he found out he was cast as Lando Calrissian?
No.
He said he ordered a bunch of pizzas from Pizza Hut and watched Empire Strikes Back.
That's awesome. Something I would do.
That's what's cool about Star Wars. All right, so let's talk about this week's podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What?
Alright, so how do you feel about the way, this was what we asked last week, how do you feel about the way J.J. Abrams is handling the character of General Leia in Episode 9? We have 577 votes, which is pretty good for us. We had four choices, perfect, nervous, bad feeling, or other. We didn't get you guys' feedback on that specific question last week. Go.
I'm nervous because I really don't know how it's going to go because I don't know if they're going to use this, like, she's going to be in there for like 10 seconds and then they're going to kill her off or something like that. I don't know.
Like an explosion at a resistance base or something?
I really don't know how it's going to go. I'm nervous because it's she said it wasn't her best performance and it's deleted parts from it, so they have to use different words from it, and I just don't know how it's going to go.
Well, I understand that the reason that these scenes were deleted originally was because there's like a heavy politics element to them, and they wanted to, and they happened earlier in The Force Awakens, or they originally happened earlier in The Force Awakens, mm-hmm. and they wanted to hold back the reveal of General Leia to the moment on Takodana when Han Solo has just seen Kylo Ren take Rey off of his ship, and she comes out of the transport and sees Han, and they do the whole, you know, hey, same jacket, you know, no new jacket. I like what you did with your hair and all that.
3PO.
Hi, I'm C-3PO. You probably don't recognize me because I have a red arm. But anyway, they wanted that whole scene. He says, I saw him. I saw our son.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. They wanted that to be the first time we see General
Leia. I think
that's
fair.
And so there was other things that were legitimate scenes that that had great content in them, but they just didn't fit in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
That's what I understand they're doing that. What do you think about it, BB, or Samuel Hutt?
I think it's an absolutely perfect way to do it, but I have reservations about it. Like what Nathan said, I think that it's a good, great idea, but it poses so many problems. I don't think this has ever been done in movie history that I know of.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they did something with...
I think they did some sort of like it in the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, I was going to say with Paul Walker.
Because they had his brother play the character, and then they just CG'd the face over it, but that's still not even close to what they're doing here. They're literally basing everything off of those few clips. So... I think that it's a great idea in theory.
Yeah, so. I'm concerned that I want it to work. I want desperately for it to be great. I want this to be awesome. But I'm not sure, you know, until we see it, I'm reserving judgment on it. All right, so here's some comments from our Twitter poll. Sam Yoda Bronchi.
Hey, Sam.
The Yoda Pagoda. I like that. That's a good Twitter handle.
I like
The Yoda Pagoda.
I like Sam.
You like the Sam part?
I like the Sam
part. That makes sense. I trust JJ, but I would have rather had a surprise rather than us speculating where Leia appears. So what do you think? Do you think that they should have held that back?
Yeah.
And not told us anything about it, and then her just show up in the movie?
Yeah.
Well, either way, it's going to make fans disappointed. Because if they did keep it a surprise, people would be like, that's not right, and then it doesn't work, and then they'll be looking at it again, and then it just... I don't think that fans would like that part, but...
You'll have a whole group of fans that would be upset with them doing that, not having a chance to emotionally prepare for that.
I think that it is... I think that that would have been a better idea. You're just watching and you're like, oh, and then they explain, or they release an article later explaining how they did it, or it's a bonus feature or something that's explaining that they used previously.
Well, but I do think that the challenge I have is everybody would be lost... with the how they did it
versus what the actual movie
when they're watching the movie the first time, they would get pulled out of the story because it happened to us in Rogue One the first time we saw it. Because when we saw Tarkin the first time, we lost the rest of that scene. Because you and I, at least, I remember...
I was paying attention to the scene.
We weren't. Sam and I weren't. No, we were freaking out. Maybe Nate was. But Sam and I were trying to figure out how they did it, and we were just blown away by it being in there. So now when we see Leia in there, we'll have the questions answered about where she came from and how they did it. And we can just focus in on Leia and the story with that. So here's what the Elven Padawan said at... Elven Padawan.
There we go.
Obviously a Lord of the Rings fan and a Star Wars fan.
Hey, that's fair. I like Lord of the Rings.
Even though I'm still incredibly sad that we won't be able to see Carrie continue the story in the way that it was originally planned, I think JJ certainly has the skill to pull this off. I'm glad to know that there's still more time with our general, and I respect the way they're doing this. I like what she says, or he says. I don't know if it's a he or she, because it doesn't really matter. I guess what the Elven Padawan said, I agree with, about we do get to see... a conclusion of the Skywalker saga that includes Princess Leia or General Leia in this, and we're excited about that. I would agree with that, wouldn't you guys?
Yes, I would. I mean, it's good to see how they're continuing it on. Yes, we all knew that it wasn't going to continue on the way that they were planning it to, an Episode 9 being Leia's movie. We can't really do that anymore.
No, not at all. I think that's why they're bringing in Lando, by the way.
Yeah, because I think they're going to try to...
The storyline that they intended for General Leia is what Lando really has to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you think? Do you like it, Sam? You are just excited that you get to see her?
Yeah. I mean, I think she's an integral part of Star Wars, obviously. So I'm glad that she's going to be able to finish off the series, or the trilogy.
Yeah.
Where was I going? I lost my train of thought.
Just
I mean, I'm just glad I get to see her. It's just sad that she's not going to be able to do it herself and for real.
All right, and then Bridget Disney picked our Star Wars and Marvel fan.
All right,
that was the name that's listed, but the Twitter handle is at Pixie Dust Dreamer.
At
well, that's well, me. Well, that's my stick. That's my mistake.
It's at Pixie Dust Dreamer, but the Dreamer is no D R E A M. R. So
no E between the M and the R. All right. Pixie Dust Dreamer, which the name was Bridget Disney Pixar Star Wars and Marvel fan.
That's a tongue twister.
I'm glad because Leia's first and last moments in the Skywalker storyline will be the one and only Carrie Fisher. Hashtag Star Wars. So Ooh. We won't have another person trying to play it. It won't be a CGI character. It will be the real Carrie Fisher playing it. I can agree with
Not
that.
Meryl Streep.
Oh, God.
That's true, too. Glad that that's gone. All right. So, I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier. I was focusing on it. Remake The Last Jedi Strikes Back.
Strikes Back.
And you won't believe what they're saying. Plus, episode 1 through 6 aren't coming to the Disney streaming service anytime soon.
Boo.
And does that mean Lucasfilm has a plan B in the works? It's time for Hot Takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, so Remake the Last Jedi movement is taking credit.
Do what?
For the episode 9 announcement.
Which one?
The big one that came out while we were driving to Arizona.
The
cast announcement, the Leia stuff, the Mark Hamill being in it. According to a press release from Remake the Last Jedi, hold on.
I got a bad feeling about this. Yeah.
According to a press release from Remake the Last Jedi, Disney, quote, listened to us and has taken our advice. Among the developments that the group claims it is responsible for are the rumored return of George Lucas to consult of the script for episode 9. Did we hear that? I hadn't heard that.
No, but first I've heard of it.
All right. The reprisal of Luke's role. We knew about that. Mark Hamill said he was going to be in it. And he told us first, though. He confirmed it with us first. And the use of the footage of Carrie Fisher.
Oh, they came up with that
in the upcoming film.
Okay,
they didn't come up with it, but it's because of their movement that they're doing these things.
Okay,
the release continues saying Disney has written themselves into a corner and will have to make bold decisions to get out of it.
Don't they have to make bold decisions for literally every movie?
Yeah. Trying to use the finale of the 9-part Skywalker saga to fix the problems of The Last Jedi is a mistake. Going back and remaking The Last Jedi is the only way to save the franchise. Oh. We've been right about everything so far. And they're listening. So don't they owe it to themselves to listen to us one more time before they take the next step?
Okay. Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right.
Are they joking?
No, they're not joking.
They're completely 100%
They sent out
serious?
An official press release.
No. Are they maybe like Babylon Bee sort of thing? Or like, were they're joking?
I don't think so.
Because, I mean, we say that Lucasfilm's listening to us and J.J. Abrams is listening
to us. Yeah, but we make it very clear that we're joking.
We're kidding. They don't. And we know it. It's fine.
What do you think about this, BB Nate? Should the Remake The Last Jedi movement take credit for the fact that Luke Skywalker is going to be in episode 9?
You know, didn't everybody... Say that?
Yeah, I think that everybody's pretty much assumed that he was coming back in episode 9. Yeah. And Carrie Fisher's death and them figuring out how to manage that effectively, I don't think that they took into account a single tweet or sentence from Remake The Last Jedi in that process.
Yeah. Well, I think that any 4-year-old could figure out that Luke Skywalker was going to return in episode 9.
Just any of this. It's just like... this is ridiculous.
All right. I think we've said enough.
They're suffering from delusions of grandeur.
We need that.
I go away for a little bit and everybody starts suffering from delusions of grandeur.
We need that in our soundboard.
I do need that.
We do need that.
This is what I have to say to them.
I want to go home and rethink my life.
That's what they need to be doing right now. Okay. Second, Star Wars won't be on Disney's streaming service until 2024.
Whoa.
Disney is working hard to move all Star Wars content to their new streaming service debuting in 2019, but Turner Broadcasting, TBS, TNT, those channels, isn't interested in dealing the rights to episode 1 through 6, the films. They purchased the broadcast rights for them in 2016.
The streaming service is technically a TV.
Yeah, that means Disney will have to wait until the current contract expires in 2024. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
Well, at least we're going to get some shows and live action series and special stuff that we will see on the streaming service.
And you'll get the sequel trilogy
and we'll get Solo, and we'll get Rogue One, and we'll get the anthologies.
I think they'll release the non-special editions.
No, they can't do that. They can't release the non-special editions.
They bought Fox.
No, the broadcast rights. I'm sure that they'll have to do that.
So, and also, we're going to have all the other Marvel and other Disney.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot more stuff on
so
the Disney streaming
service. So
we can
hold out for the time
we kind of own... I think most Star Wars fans own 1 through 6.
That's true.
So it's not a huge...
sacrifice.
Yeah. Right. That was the word.
So is Plan B, then... for the streaming service to have another live-action Star Wars series. TheForce.net is reporting that Lucasfilm has begun the process of hiring a creative executive who will be responsible for partnering with the VP, that's Vice President.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Thank you.
Animation and Long-Form Development, that's the title, Vice President Animation and Long-Form Development.
That's complicated.
To oversee the development, execution, and production of all episodic and serialized content.
Serialized?
Yeah, like serialized is like a
series.
A series.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's what that word
means. Episodes,
like
series.
Like a serial show is a series show.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
But then here's the thing, though. The description goes on to say that the position brainstorms and develops new concepts for live-action series that are aligned with company-wide storytelling strategy and transmedia efforts. Do you think that we'll get more than just the Jon Favreau TV series on the streaming service for Star Wars?
Oh, definitely. It was in a matter of time before something like that would happen. The more the merrier. I'm certain they're going to have multiple live-action series.
Cool.
Well, yes, I did know that they were going to come out with more Star Wars live-action series.
You assumed that they were going to come out with
Yes, I had. Well, because they're going to have some in the future, and that's why I was thinking it's going to be later on. Now, speaking for when it releases, or close to when it releases, I did not expect that, because we already have the Jon Favreau series coming out, and it would be a good play to hold out the Star Wars fans to get the streaming service so they have more incentive to get it. They may release an animated series.
Well,
they're definitely going to be releasing Star Wars Resistance and the Clone Wars and Rebels and the Jon Favreau series and the sequel trilogies and the stories, movies, Star Wars stories, that kind of thing. So that'll all be on there. But I think that we could see maybe the Bounty Hunter movie. Ooh. Our TV series get started here before too long. I don't think that's what Jon Favreau is working on because of the time frame, but I think that they've already got scripts written for it.
Yeah.
Because that's what George Lucas was already working
on. Star Wars TV on Google, and literally it pops up Star Wars
Underworld. I think that it's pretty much ready to go.
Yeah.
They would just need to go ahead and green light it. So
pretty much.
It's a very good possibility. All right. So since we haven't had any major Star Wars announcements this week, we are going to take a deeper look into the parallels between two of our favorite orphans and Jedi in training from the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. Ezra Bridger from Star Wars Rebels and Rey from the sequel trilogy.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so Neil Clyde wrote a really interesting article on StarWars.com this week. I think it even just came out today. Comparing the storylines between Ezra and Rey. Which I think is actually a really interesting thing. So we're going to walk through the article.
I wouldn't have thought to compare those two.
He makes some really good points. So I'm going to go read the opening to it. We're going to talk through the article.
Who's Neil Clyde?
Entertainment writer.
Oh, okay,
got it. He wrote an article for StarWars.com.
Okay.
Follow him on Twitter. Nice guy. All right, anyway. Star Wars Echoes... that's his series, I guess. Star Wars Echoes examines the lives of two characters, seemingly very different on the surface, and how they're often more similar than we might think. So that's the series.
Exactly my thought process there for a second.
Throughout the mythology of Star Wars, synchronicity can be seen again and again, binding heroes, villains, creatures, and legends to one another despite their paths never crossing. For example, a lonely scavenger on a desert world and a street smart kid who fell in with a band of rebels. Both long for parents lost years before, each seeking escape from a solitary existence on a world that's known the Empire's presence. Would-be Jedi, lone wolves pining to be part of a pack. The stories of Rey and Ezra Bridger offer familiar patterns that can be seen reflected in one another as attempts to master the Force and defend the galaxy. As each attempts to master the Force and defend the galaxy from evil. So just on their surface, what's your initial thoughts on the idea of Ezra and Rey and their similarities? BB Nate.
They do have very similar things. And if you look past the stuff that he just said, then there are much more similarities. But we really don't see... Because one of them, yes, is in the original trilogy. One of them is in the sequel trilogy. But we don't have any in the prequel trilogy, except for maybe Anakin.
Well, except you have... I mean, we have this idea of orphans.
Yeah.
That kind of works its way through Star Wars. Han Solo.
Yeah.
Is an orphan. You have Luke, who's... I mean, he's raised by his aunt and his uncle, but yeah, he's in some ways an orphan. With it, Anakin, to an extent... He ends up at 9 years old or 11 years old or whatever he was when he was hitting on Padme.
Are you an angel?
Are you an angel? Anyway, he leaves his family and basically becomes an orphan. The Jedi Order is built on orphan children, basically being taken away from their parents.
Pretty much.
And to never see them again. So this theory, this theme is pretty common. Rey, of course, is pretty common with that. So let's look at these. He lists several different ideas. So let's go through them one by one. Both were forced to live alone from a very young age. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Abandoned on the desert planet Jakku by her parents, Rey learned to fend for herself in a world where your next meal is only as good as your latest find. The unforgiving climate hardened the young woman, forcing her to acquire the skills she needed to survive. Years earlier, on Lothal, a young Ezra Bridger found himself in the same predicament after his outspoken parents were forcibly taken by the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra learned what it took to endure on a planet under Imperial rule. While Rey and Ezra each proved to be capable survivors, they were still missing something in their solitary lives. What do you think, Samuel?
I mean, I don't see any flaws with that. They were both forced to adapt at such a young age. I think that that's both why they became such strong leaders and warriors, just because they were so independent.
Now that I'm thinking about it, you have sort of the same type of thing happens with Asajj Ventress in the Clone Wars. She's ripped from her parents at a young age. Darth Maul is ripped from his family at a young age. Here's a theory can throw out here.
It's a bow tie Jedi
theory. I got a bad feeling about this.
All right. Are children that at a young age are taken from their parents or ripped away from their family situation, do they have a greater sensitivity to the Force? Is that raised up within them because of the scenario that they're forced to go through?
Oddly specific. I mean, I see where you're going with it, but it's super specific. Like, yeah, get ripped and then like get ripped away from your parents at a young age, you know, become strong in the Force.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying that. It seems to be a common thread.
Yeah. Between them. I just think that. I mean, I don't think that erases Force sensitivity or awareness or whatever. I think it's just.
Well, I think that what I'm trying to say is this: being separated from your family and put into an extremely difficult situation where you have to learn how to survive at a very young age without any assistance from adults may cause you at a young age to connect with the Force in a different way because you're forced to survive. I'm not using that as a pun.
Intended.
Yeah. No, I wasn't using that as a pun. What do you think about that idea, BB Nate?
Yes, there is a lot of similarities in all of the orphans that are taken from their parents, but I really don't think it has to do with their force, and I don't think that has to do with their force growing. I think they do get separated from their parents for a reason. The Force calls them to, yes, if they already have the Force, and so when they're separated from their parents, they learn to live by themselves, so that makes them greater warriors in the fight. So, So yeah, that's what I think.
That's actually a really good idea. All right. Let's look at the next topic, or the next point he makes. They fell in with an unlikely crew and found a new kind of family. A confident Twi'lek. A confident Twi'lek pilot, an incognito Jedi, an artistic Mandalorian, and a gruff Lasat, a fugitive stormtrooper, a legendary smuggler, and a Wookiee we wouldn't dare upset. Both teams, decades apart, were completed by trusty astromech droids, and both eventually claimed a deserted, lonely, would-be hero with limited force capabilities from a distant planet.
True.
And a fast ship.
That's right. The ghost in the Falcon. He didn't even go there. Despite the deserted, lonely despite the differences surrounding their respective situations, one team fighting against the Iron Fist of the Empire, the other doing its best to circumvent conflict with its successor, both the crew of the Ghost and the ragtag band of heroes flying to Takodana aboard a rediscovered Millennium Falcon ended up having two things in common. First, they welcomed in the newcomer with open arms, and second, they all ended up proving themselves heroes. Heroes second, and rebels first. BB Nate, what do you think about the new families that these two were brought into?
It's very true, especially with the astromechs.
Yeah, that was cool.
They do bring R2. It together, because they all seemingly either like the droid or hate the droid. Yeah. And Zeb is like Chewie.
Yeah.
In a way.
It is. Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. Let's be honest here. The original sketches of Chewie are Zeb.
Of a Lasat,
yeah. But I don't know who Sabine would represent in the crew.
Finn.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Someone more their age. Opposite gender.
Yeah.
There's that.
And then Kanan.
Hera's just like Han Solo.
Yeah, Hera's like Han Solo.
And Kanan, right.
Kanan's just Kanan, I think.
Yeah, I think, and then they talk about these other Jedi, you know, eventually Kanan is the Jedi that trains him reluctantly. Because remember, in the first couple seasons, or the first season, Kanan is reluctant to train Ezra, right? And then you have the same thing happening with Rey and Luke. It happens in the sequel, or in The Last Jedi, the second movie. But there's that Jedi concept with it. And we've seen the parallels between Hera and Han.
Yeah.
They've talked about that a lot. In fact, they're in competition if you watch Forces of Destiny. Yeah. They sort of are trying to one-up each other with it.
Yeah,
and I think it's a really interesting idea.
And I love the family aspect of it, because they really do become family, especially when you watch Rebels and they get... I mean, they call them the kids.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they really are family. We don't get to see that as much in... Force Awakens or Last Jedi.
Well, that's a big difference between watching a show, a series, and watching a two-hour movie. Because in the series, you know, you're getting
the nitty-gritty.
You know, up to 20 episodes. That's like a five-hour movie,
right?
With that, so what do you think, BB Nate? I love the Ghost Falcon thing that you brought up there. That's awesome.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
And Han even mentions a VX.
In the Solo movie. He mentions the ship that's the Ghost.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to comment on that? Okay. All right. Next point he makes. Each were tempted by the darkness in the form of a person they thought they could trust. I think this is really interesting. Yeah. Having witnessed Kylo Ren cut down her best friend in the forest upon Starkiller Base, Rey was full of distrust when he appeared to her on the island of Ahch-To. But during a succession of mysterious, emotionally charged connections through the Force, and after peeling away what she felt were layers of truth surrounding Kylo's falling out with Luke Skywalker, something about the former Knight of Ren called to the novice Force user. And so she went to him on the Supremacy, hoping, as Luke once did with Kylo's grandfather Darth Vader, to redeem Ben Solo and bring him back into the light. So that's Rey's
version of the story.
Ezra's first encounter with Maul on Malachor seemed less dangerous than the young rebel first believed. And as Rey felt a bond with Kylo, Ezra related to Maul's tale of loss at the hands of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
Even after he learned the truth about his supposed mentor, Ezra still felt the road toward his own understanding of the Force led through Maul. Like Rey, however, Ezra soon learned that Maul had ulterior motives of his own. Kylo's emotional connection with Rey revealed that he only wanted the girl from Jakku to serve as his partner in a bid to rule the galaxy. Maul, though showing fondness for his new apprentice, was ultimately using Ezra to open the Sith holocron to discover the location of his long-lost enemy, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Samuel Lahat, what do you think?
I think that that's really, really interesting. I didn't think of those parallels. I didn't think of any of these parallels, but this one I really wasn't expecting. The connection made between Ezra and Maul is at first different from Rey and Kylo, because Rey and Kylo, she calls him a monster at first, you know, and then the friendship begin, or the supposed friendship connection begins, right, and then it dies back off. But with Ezra, it's the opposite. I mean, it starts off friendly, and then it turns bad. So I think that's interesting, and that I think also hardens them even more, because they think they've made a new friend or a family member, and then it betrays them just because they were selfish. And I think that hurts them and matures them even more. So
interesting. BB Nate, what do you think?
The thing is that both of them do have a Sith in their lives, and we know that both of them made an impact.
Or a dark side user. I think it's pretty Kylo much confirmed that Kylo is not a Sith.
Okay, a dark side user. They both have a dark side user in their lives, and now you made me lose my train of thought.
Oh, I'm sorry, Beauty. Okay, here's one thing that I think is interesting, and maybe it'll come back to you if we start talking about it, is one of the criticisms of The Last Jedi had to do with this force bond, this force connection, this communication in the force that happened between Kylo and Rey. But there was a connection between Maul and Ezra after the holocrons and stuff like that. Maul was communicating to Ezra with it. And so I think that's interesting. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
I agree. They do both have connections after, as we've seen in Last Jedi and Rebels. I think my train of thought was going that they both have dark side users in their lives, and that does mean that they both really have learned by what that means. They learn that the Force is kind of giving them these dark side users.
Showing them it's like to be a dark side.
Yeah. Showing them what
happens if they give in to the dark side. Is that kind of what's going on?
Showing them what you could have been. And what that means is that the Force is directing their paths.
Actively directing them.
No matter what. And even with the dark side users, even more. Because if they didn't have that in their lives, they would think that they're snowflakes, and they just don't...
Starflakes.
And they don't know what dark side is. And they don't know what they could become or could have become.
Yeah.
Or know a lot of conflict.
Well, it's kind of like what Mom and I do with you guys. You know, we want you to be, you know, respectful, kind, compassionate, generous, strong, intelligent, caring individuals.
Right.
But we want to protect you at the same time. We want to keep you from the world, you know, coming at you and that kind of stuff. Right. Because you're kids. But we don't, shield you from it. We let you know the way the real world works. And we keep that so that you're aware of what life is like when you don't have protection. Yeah. Or you don't have family, even. When you don't have compassion for others. Mm-hmm. You know, all these different types of things. We talk about that all the time. Oh, so I think that you're seeing the same type of thing, BB Nate, in the way that the Force is allowing Rey and allowing Ezra to have these examples of the dark side. Guiding them or illustrating to them. That's a pretty good point. Awesome. All right, here's the next point he makes. Worldly pirates taught each of them a lesson, despite less than stellar outcomes.
All right. When you're working with Holdo,
I should have this quote in here. I've got it in my files, but I didn't bring it in. I have lived long enough to see the same eyes in different people. No statement by a character in Star Wars has ever rung more truthfully. Maz Kanata, pirate, adventurer.
She was a pirate.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, she's a pirate.
Proprietor utters these words to Finn in her castle on Takodana. But an even more valuable lesson was imparted to Rey: the importance of discovering one's place in the Force, along with a certain once-lost lightsaber. Meanwhile, the Weequay pirate, Hondo Ohnaka, had already provided a lesson of his own to Ezra. Several, in fact. Every encounter between the two left Ezra not only a bit credit poor and in hot water, but also with the realization that if Ezra hadn't found the ghost, Hondo's life might very well have been his own. Mm-hmm. Smuggling, scounging, a harsh example of the man he would become without his friends in the Force. BB Nate, what do you think about the pirate Maz Hondo element?
I really don't see... that's just a thing that is more similar between them. I don't see how that would affect any of the story. They do have pirate influences, but that I don't think that affects anything.
Well, I think it's more, let's not focus on the pirate word, but let's focus on the characters of Maz Kanata and the character of Hondo Ohnaka. Do you think that those parallels work, or do you think that that's actually stretching?
I pretty feel like that's a little bit stretching. Just because they're both pirates doesn't mean that they're the same person and the same type of... And they do the same mentor things.
Yeah.
Maz is kind of a business person and just runs a cantina. And nice Hondo's...
And she seems to be one that is a wise person. You know, she's seen as almost Yoda-esque in the sequel trilogy. At least in The Force Awakens. She didn't seem so much... She seemed like she was a character from Battlefront 2.
She was cool.
In The Last Jedi.
I want a Maz Kanata anthology.
Okay. That would be cool. We'll come back to that on another episode, but we don't have anything to talk about. but I think that they seem very different in characters. But do you think that their effect on the Rey or on Ezra are similar, Samuel?
I feel like that they end up producing the same results, but in different methods. I think Maz just gives her advice and things like that, and that's all fine. Well, I'm fine, but I feel like Hondo does it in more of a action or an experience, Hondo says one thing, gets Ezra to do this, and it turns out the opposite, and that's how Ezra learns his lesson, while Rey just is told things and then experiences them herself without Hondo, or Maz double-crossing him or anything. I feel like it's going to eventually produce the same end result.
And what I think is that with the Force driving, as I said, I really think that it's showing Rey and Ezra that you can be friendly to people that are on the light side. You can be friends to pirates who...
Or people that are just sort of in the gray area.
Who aren't light side or dark side. You can be friendly to the people that steal people's money and that type of stuff and still be friends with them.
Well, that's one of the things that I love so much about Ezra.
Can I make a statement on that? I mean, that even helps Ezra in the end, because we see in the last few episodes of Rebels that Hondo comes back to him. I mean, throughout the series, the Ghost crew was like, no, he's trash. Don't hang out with him, or don't work with him. He's bad. He's bad for you. And then in the end, he comes and helps Ezra. He's an integral part of saving Lothal.
Yeah, so. I think it's interesting, too, because Ezra always has hope that there's good in Hondo.
He's did with Kylo,
kind of like Rey with Kylo. But I think it's fun to see Ezra always expecting Hondo to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. Throughout three seasons or four seasons, he doesn't do the right thing. He always betrays Ezra.
Yeah.
But at the very end, when they needed Hondo to come through for them,
he did.
He did in the final episode. So that's a cool idea. Awesome. All right, here's the next one. Their first lightsabers were blue. That's true.
Enough said.
Rey's lightsaber, of course, was first Luke's, lost during the battle with Darth Vader on Cloud City, and mysteriously rediscovered in Maz's castle.
A good story for another time. That's the anthology movie.
There we go. I think it's a comic book. I honestly believe it's going to be a comic book. But anyway, and before that, it belonged to Luke's father, Anakin. Ezra constructed his own saber from spare parts, incorporating a blaster and powered by a kyber crystal from the Jedi Temple on Mothal. What do you think about this, Samuel, the blue lightsaber connection?
Enough said.
Blue lightsabers are plenty of dime a dozen.
Yeah, the blue lightsabers are the most common in Star Wars, so that's that.
All right, Samuel, or BB-8?
I really just think it's a coincidence that they had to do it. I don't think it ties between them, but I do think that, yes, I'm pretty sure blue means that they use the lightsaber the most.
I mean...
No, that whole has been done away with.
Yeah, that's just fancy.
That's legend stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here's the last one. I think this one will be interesting. The loss of a mentor taught both Ezra and Rey how to fulfill their destinies alone. Though his place on the Ghost gave Ezra purpose, his Force training under the Jedi Kanan Jarrus, one of the few survivors of the Jedi Purge, granted him maturity and responsibility. Unfortunately, when Kanan perished atop a fuel pod on Lothal, one of the saddest moments in television history, holding back an explosion so that his fellow rebels could escape, Ezra's education was suddenly curtailed, leaving the talented Padawan to complete his training alone while also finding his own place in the galaxy. Eventually, Ezra would gather the knowledge he needed to fulfill his own destiny and save his world. Although we can't be sure his story is complete, having lost sight of Ezra as he, Grand Admiral Thrawn, and a pod of Purgle, say that five times fast, pod of Purgle, jumped headlong into the unknown. Years later, Rey would find a Jedi Master as well, the legendary Luke Skywalker, hiding in exile on Octu. Despite Luke's reluctance to train her, Rey manages to get in a few hard lessons about the Force, balance, and her place in all of it before learning the truth about Ben Solo and storming off planet. Yeah. Lesson to you, ladies. Or to you, gentlemen. The ladies don't like it when you hold things back from them. Okay? She got mad and she left. And that will happen in your real life, too. All right. In the end, Luke holds off Kylo Ren and the First Order, allowing the last of the Resistance to escape, which they cannot do without Rey. Though barely her mentor, Luke's sacrifice does strike an emotional chord with Rey. She is now the last of the Jedi and must complete her training and confront Kylo Ren on her own. Samuel Lehet, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, it was a very key turning point in Ezra's life, and it pushed him, not necessarily over the edge, but I think it gave him that final motivation to say, you're ready. And, I mean, we haven't seen the effects too much with Rey, because we saw her for like 2 minutes after she realized that Luke died. But I think it is going to push her and turn her into that leader Jedi that the Resistance will need at this point.
What do you think, BB Nate?
I do feel like the loss of their parents, they were looking forward to meeting this one mentor. They were looking forward to having a mentor. And with the loss of them, they find out that nothing is going to be perfect in their lives as they need to learn
to take care of themselves.
Yes, to take care of themselves and to fight through the problems that they have, and they will overcome and they will meet in the future. Like, Rey's problems is Kylo Ren, Ezra's is Thrawn's.
And similarly, both the mentors who passed away told them not to, you know, Kanan said not to go with Maul. Luke was to Rey, don't go to Kylo. And they both had to end up, you know, I mean...
It's really an interesting connection.
There was a very similar parallel in those respects with you need to do it. Kanan with, mainly like Thrawn, you know, because eventually Ezra was like, okay, I need to do this now. And that's what Rey is going to have to end up doing in episode 9.
Okay, so this is a similarity that I saw that he didn't think of. They were both reluctant to use the Force at the beginning. Rey didn't want to have anything to do with the Jedi or that lightsaber that she found.
Yeah.
Ezra just wanted to go back home, and he wanted to finish.
They're very similar.
And then the story went along, and they were both dragged into it.
They sort of get pulled into it.
And then they decided to surrender to it.
That's awesome. Good discussion.
Yeah.
I agree. That was good. Anything else?
Anything else?
Thank you, Kylo Ren. We didn't talk about who's going to do this, so I'm going to do the first one. So we joked a little bit about J.J. Abrams tweeting the first episode image from episode 9, and we talked about it. I photoshopped a blurry porg onto the dashboard of the Millennium Falcon in that. But what do you think? You're on the Falcon, you've got Chewie, you've got Finn, and you've got someone that everyone is assuming she's hidden a little bit behind the camera, or he is hidden. The individual is hidden a little bit behind the camera, but it's assumed to be Rey. What do you guys think about the first image?
I like the porg in it.
Well, I put the porg in it.
I think it's a nice starting point.
I hope we get a lot more images. I hope he takes the something out of the playbook from Ron Howard, who was tweeting stuff like crazy for Han Solo, or for the Solo movie.
So, Ewan McGregor said he doesn't even know if he's returning to Star Wars.
What do you think about that, guys?
I think he's throwing us a little something to misdirect us.
Yeah, because he has
at least that's what I'm hoping.
He has no other movies except for the Christopher Robin movie that came out.
We don't know that, so he could have other movies in the works. All right, and then there's talk that they may also be using deleted Carrie Fisher scenes from The Last Jedi in the Episode 9 clips, and things like that. What do you guys think about that?
I was like, talk about this.
That would work a little bit better because it would probably, if they're going to do that, it would probably be right after The Last Jedi ended, and then I think.
Yeah, I'm still convinced that there is no time jump. In episode 9 now, just like there isn't really a time jump in episode between 7 and 8, just because how do you do that with a Carrie Fisher character like that? So, all right, that seems to be it. Let's talk about next week's podcast poll of the week. It's really simple. What are you most excited for in the Star Wars world, obviously, in 2019? The Clone Wars season 7, episode 9, Star Wars live action TV series, or Star Wars Celebration Chicago, which I have news, gentlemen. We finally have a hotel room for the first night of Celebration.
What about Resistance?
That's starting this year.
Never mind.
We'll talk about that on next week's podcast poll of the week. We'll discuss our thoughts on that. We want to hear your thoughts, so make sure you vote in the poll. Also, subscribe to our podcast on your podcast service of choice. And please give us a rating and a review, especially if you're in the U.S., because apparently we only get U.S. reviews. We get ratings from all over the world, but only U.S. reviews. It's really bizarre.
Shame.
Make sure you share this with everybody else. Thank you guys so much for those of you that are sharing this. We're seeing our podcast listens consistently increasing, and so we're very excited about that. Thank you guys so much for that. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. Always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.